G'day, I'm Mac, and welcome to episode 374 of ACPOD. Dateline Auckland, New Zealand, Thursday the 19th of July 2012. Just checked out of my hotel and I'm on the way to Auckland Airport. Now, you might remember when I first arrived in Auckland, I had my big suitcase and I have my backpack, and I walked up this humongous hill to get to my hotel, and I asked the receptionist, is there an easier way to get up there? And as it turns out, not really. You can come up from Custom Street and Key Street up Emily Place to the hotel, and that hill's probably the bigger of the two that I went down. The other one via Shortland Street, it does have a bit of a downhill bit. You get to the top of the street and then it's a downhill tiny bit to the actual hotel. But having said that, they're both pretty big hills, so I usually take a couple of stops. But once you get to the top, well, you know it's going to be some time before you have to go back down. And going back down is the awesome bit. I'm going down at the moment, heading to the airport bus to head to the airport. My next stop is Queenstown, which is going to be rather cool. Rather cool in more ways than one. Actually, haven't checked the forecast for Queenstown, but I've heard it is going to be quite cold. Now, when it comes to Australia and skiing, there's not many places that you can go that are close to a capital city. You usually have to travel from Sydney. You might have to travel about 8 hours in a car. From Melbourne to the Victorian snowfields, it's a little bit closer. I think it's about 4 hours from memory. But compared to worldwide standards, our mountains aren't very high and it doesn't get very cold at all. Some people who have tried the Australian ski fields have said that what you should actually do for better skiing and for being closer and, you know, better money for value, is that you should actually come over to New Zealand, somewhere like Queenstown or Mount Cook, and go there. You could be on a plane from Sydney to Queenstown in about 3 hours, and then you're there. Then you're actually in the ski fields. And so I'm about to find that out today, I think. It's only a short visit. I arrived Auckland on Monday night, and it's now Thursday, and I'm about to head on a jet plane to Queenstown. But overall, I enjoyed it. I would come back. There are other New Zealand cities that would be on my list to come back before Auckland. For instance, I'd want to hit Wellington and I'd want to hit Christchurch before I come back to Auckland. But one advantage that Auckland does has that I do know some people here. And yesterday, I was very privileged to be shown around by a local, which was awesome. Hello, Jeanette. You're probably not listening, but hello anyway. It was rather cool to go around the streets basically with a local, and I covered some ground. We went up to Mount Eden, which is the highest mountain in New Zealand. Or not in New Zealand, in Auckland, I should say. The highest mountain in Auckland. The highest point of Auckland. And it gives you a great 360 degree view of the city. Now, Mount Eden is based on a volcano. A non-active volcano at the moment, but a volcano nonetheless. and there's a massive crater, which is probably from highest point to lowest point 400 meters. I could be exaggerating, I'm not sure. But a rather embarrassing incident happened on Sunday night, where a what they normally do, the security closes the road up to the top of Mount Eden at about 11 p.m. because they do open it up so you can see the city by night as well. I went up during the day. And so part of security's job is to go up there a little bit early and make sure that there's no one up there before they lock the gates and get them to leave, and then they can lock the gates and do whatever else that they have to do. However, in the car park, there was a guy who had a flat battery in the car park, so he couldn't go anywhere. So the helpful security guard got some jumper leads and attached the jumper leads to both cars, and unfortunately the security guard's car rolled and it picked the one spot where there wasn't much of a fence or a cliff or anything like that, and the car actually rolled into this crater. And this crater is a significant site. It's one of these heritage protected sacred sites. And so you can imagine 11 o'clock at night on a Sunday night, you've got a car which shouldn't be in this Kiwi sacred site of a crater on top of a volcano. Now, if a car got stuck normally, in a normal situation, like it went down a ditch or something like that, or down a cliff, the easiest thing would be is to call a recovery vehicle with a winch and winch the car out. But unfortunately, because of the location of the car and being in this crater, they had to be very careful not to cause any damage to the crater while they were recovering the car. At one point, there was even talk of getting a helicopter in and removing the car via helicopter. They ended up very carefully winching the car out, and fortunately there was no damage to the crater. It did take some time though. It did take quite some time for that to actually happen. But it happened later on in that afternoon. So I'm just going to go into a souvenir shop very quickly. I'm at a souvenir shop which is called Kiwi Land, of course it is, and this is the place that I was telling you about the other day where it had the world map upside down. I think it's going to be a good prop for the studio.
Okay, no worries. We have two of them.
site to post it.
Yep. It's built into the lane.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I might do that actually.
Yeah, here.
Yep, that's the one. Jackie, I have my upside down New Zealand map, which is awesome. Now I'm going to head out and catch the bus to the airport. What you heard there, it was a sampler, a CD sampler board, where you push some buttons and there were various sounds, various CDs that you could hear samples from. You know, things like ocean noises and all of that sort of stuff. And later we heard some traditional Maori music, so that was quite cool. I gotta say though, having been in several shops and looking in a lot of others here in Auckland, it is a very multicultural sort of society now. Lots of different people from all over the world, lots of different accents, which is awesome. So yesterday it was great to be shown around, which was absolutely awesome. Ended up, apart from Mount Eden and a few other places, having lunch on a beach on the North Shore. And I was able to get fish and chips wrapped in newspaper. I have not had fish and chips wrapped in newspaper for about 20 years. Mind you, the Kiwis did it smarter than what we used to do 20 years ago. When we used to do it 20 years ago, we were all we'd do is wrap the fish and chips in the newspaper and you'd get the newsprint on the fish and chips. But what happened to me yesterday was that the outer layer was newspaper and the inner layer was traditional butcher's paper, which is what we'd wrap our chips in back home. So while on the outside it looked like newspaper, on the inside, the fish and chips, they weren't affected by the newsprint. And one of the stories on the front of the newspaper was about the value of Facebook, and it was quite funny because that article was, or that newspaper was from May 2012. Speaking of shout-outs and being from May 2012, etc., I got a shout-out from my buddy Albert, who was listening to ErkPod episode 360, which I recorded a few weeks ago now. He was in the Newcastle area on a train when he heard that, and he spoke to me on Twitter and he says, "Hey, dude, listening to ErkPod 360 up near Newcastle, in Cardiff, near Newcastle, on a train." And I said to him, "Oh, did I ask to have people check in? So let's do that again. It is the 19th of July, 2012. I'm in Auckland, New Zealand, right at this moment. Where are you?" I know Albert's listening. I know Shauna is listening. Where are you? As for me, I'm about to get on a bus, so I'll talk to you from the airport.
Take me on a table, step to the front door, my lips on the wall. my job.
Dateline Thursday, the 19th of July, 2012. Episode 374 of Ekpod, coming to you from the domestic terminal at Auckland Airport.
Flight 838 Sydenham to Nelson, now boarding gate 40.
So I'm now at the airport, just awaiting my flight to Queenstown. It's probably about an hour away from departure. Got through check-in. Check-in was an interesting process. You go to the ticket kiosk, put all your details in, and that's all. That's all fine. That's getting to be pretty much industry standard.
It is an unlink flight with customers on flight 8429 to Napier. We invite you to board your aircraft gate 45. Flight 8429 to Napier, now boarding gate 45. Please ensure all cell phones are now switched off.
So, getting your check-in card from the kiosk is getting to be pretty much normal. But what wasn't normal, after putting your sticker onto the bag, you know how when you arrive at an airport from somewhere and you have to pick up your bags off the carousel? Well, this process was basically in reverse. You put the bag onto the carousel, and that was it. You didn't have to wait in line or anything like that. Just put the bag on the carousel. There was a guy there to help you from the airline. He said to me, "Is that bag under 23 kilos? And I said, "Yes, it is." And he said, "Okay, that's fine. Put it on." There were scales nearby, if need be, if you wanted to check it. But last I weighed it, it was 18 kilos, so I'm well and truly under. Haven't brought any major souvenirs or anything like that, so that's all good. Seems to be a very small terminal. If I had have known that all the places to eat, i.e. McDonald's, was on the outside of security, I would have had something there first. But you learn these things because you just can't base everything on Sydney Airport. Sydney Airport, you can go through security.
Hello, for flight 838 Sydenham to Nelson. All customers shall now be boarding the aircraft gate 40. Flight 838 Sydenham to Nelson, gate 40, final call.
Quite pleasant. So, you can get the occasional cafe or vending machine, but most of the eat things are on the outside of security, which is very interesting. Got through security, no problem, not even 5 minutes. Pretty standard, got there through there pretty quick, so that was cool. Found the gate. And there's a few delays. When we left Auckland, the weather was sunny, as it has been for basically all the time that I've been here, except for when I arrived. But as I got closer to the airport, and as we come onto the southern motorway, there was a lot of fog. So I dare say, and this is at 11 o'clock in the morning, so I dare say that there's a bit of fog around New Zealand this morning, causing some delays and some cancellations. But so far, I'm all good, just waiting for the boarding call. Yesterday, I walked up and down K Road, Karanapi Road, I think it's pronounced, and it's promoted as one of these spots to go in Auckland. I've had it described to me basically as the Auckland version of King's Cross. I went through there, I walked up and down K Road a couple of times, and it was okay, but it was a bit underwhelming. Maybe I should have went back there at night, but considering that I walked up and down that road a couple of times, and there's some big hills, and then I walked all the way down from the top of Auckland, Karanapi Road, down to the Wynyard Quarter and the Viaduct and the seaside, the waterfront, had a massage, went back to the hotel. By that time, I couldn't be bothered going back up to K Road to see what it was like in the dark. I did find where all the Auckland strip clubs and that were, though. Very, very quiet on a Wednesday night. Needless to say, I dare say that come Friday, Saturday night, it would heat up.
To Wanganui. This flight has also been cancelled due to fog here in Auckland. Can you please report to the alternate travel arrangement counter on the ground floor after lifting your luggage from the link carousel?
Now it's 11:30 in the morning. You just heard those couple of announcements with a couple of plane cancellations quoted due to fog here in Auckland. There's not a lot of fog here now. However, I dare say that a little bit earlier this morning there would have been, based on the amount of fog that I saw on the southern motorway. You know, all of not even half an hour ago. So it's reasonably clear now, but you would have some knock-on delays and cancellations as planes might not be in the places where they should be. Interesting, I just saw a Qantas plane take off, and on the other side of the petition I heard a little boy say, "Oh look, there's an Australian plane." Yeah, not necessarily. In a few years, you'll be an AV geek and you'll know why. Just because it is a Qantas plane doesn't necessarily mean that it's operated and owned by an Australian. There are Qantas pilots and planes registered in New Zealand, so, you know, might look Australian, might not necessarily be the case, especially for domestic flights and flights that just go backwards and forwards between New Zealand and Australia.
customers recently arrived from Wellington on flight 418. If you left your black coat on board the aircraft, a gentleman's black coat, please return to gate 32 to uplift this.
Air New Zealand Beijing passengers travelling to Gisborne on NZ2137 and passengers on NZ8803 to New Plymouth, can you please uplift your luggage from the link carousel and report to the alternate travel arrangement counter on the ground floor?
Thank you for New Plymouth. Flight 429 to Wellington, all customers may now board through gate 33. Flight 429, gate 33.
What is it about uplifting?
Air New Zealand Beijing passengers travelling to Gisborne on NZ2137 and passengers on NZ8803 to New Plymouth. These flights have been cancelled due to fog here in Auckland. Passengers are advised to uplift luggage from the leaky carousel and to report to an alternate travel arrangements counter on the ground floor.
Here in Auckland, just like in Sydney, the international and the domestic terminals are a little way apart, although they share the same runways and taxiways and the like. So there's a Malaysia flight that I just saw, a Malaysia Airlines plane that I just saw. I've got a little bit of a view of a runway, but not necessarily a part where I can see them landing or departing.
Yeah.
I do have to say that it's great to be able to actually see parts of Auckland Airport, whereas when I landed here on Monday afternoon, or early Monday evening, it was very difficult to see all the action that was going on the plane, because apart from anything else, I was in the middle section. That was a wide-bodied 777, and so I was in the middle section. I could see out a window, but it wasn't very...
Good morning, Great Barrier Airlines. Welcome to all passengers travelling to Great Barrier Island. Please board your aircraft through gate 47A. Here is all Great Barrier Airlines passengers, gate 47A.
Yeah, I was in the middle section, so while I could see through a window, I couldn't see through very well. Not that there was a lot that I could actually see due to the fog. And that was about 6:30 at night, so it's good actually to be able to see. I can see across to some water, and I can also see across to some mountains at the moment. It is a bit hazy out there at the moment, but the majority of the fog has lifted.
Thank you. got John Kitts.
It's interesting where I'm located at the moment, trying to take photos of planes. I'm sort of wedged in a spot between two separate gates at the moment. If I look to the left, there's an Air New Zealand plane, which I think could actually be my plane, to Queenstown refueling. And so it's all these buildings are like two-story buildings that I can see around me. So if the plane's coming from the left, depending on the type of plane, I might be able to see the top of the tail as it passes to give me a bit of warning. Or otherwise, again, if I look to the left, but the plane's coming from the right, I can see the reflection of it in the window. And so that's... I could just get a few seconds warning of the plane arriving. There must be another plane about to arrive just in front of me at another gate 30. Because there's a guy who's just put down the chocks for the wheels for the aircraft.
Good afternoon. Air New Zealand wishes to advise passengers traveling to Gisborne on EC2151 and EC2137 to Gisborne that these flights have been cancelled due to fog. Please uplift your luggage from the link carousels located on the ground floor and make your way to the alternate travel desk for rebooking.
I dare say there is a plane about to arrive because the guy now has a couple of the directional sticks, I think you might call them, to guide the aircraft into its final position.
Thank you.
Okay, we've just had the first boarding announcement for my plane. It seems like they're actually boarding it from two separate gates, which is very interesting. Just the way they're numbered, some via the tarmac, some not, so I better head over there. Okay, I'm going to head over to my plane now. My plane is now boarding. The plane that I was talking about arriving has arrived. Was guided expertly into place. There's a hive of activity at the moment as planes arrive and depart. Hope you've enjoyed this episode from Auckland.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're currently boarding Delta Flight 641 to Queenstown. That's rows 1 to 15 through gate 32, rows 16 to 29 through gate 31.
So, I love airports. So much to see, so much to do. Sometimes it's a shame you can't actually see a lot, because you have to concentrate on where you're actually going. I'm Merck. Thank you very much for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it. Talk to you next from Queenstown. Until then, follow me on the social networks. I'm Merck. Thank you for listening. And good night, Intuit.